text for today is meant to get your attention, to warn you against an irreconcilable heart, against cruelty, and against hatred of one's neighbor. And then this is how Christ ends his exhortation. This is how the gospel text concludes. This, my heavenly Father, will also do to you if from your heart each of you does not forgive his brother's trespasses. Certainly sounds like a wake-up call. But the Lord also reveals right from the start the condition of the kingdom of heaven. That is, the condition of the church, which is his paradise and kingdom of grace. The Lord reveals the Father to be like a king who doles out management or stewardship to man, and yet will require from man, including yourselves, an accounting of how everything has been managed by man. For you, and when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. This deeply indebted servant is a picture of all of mankind, including yourselves. Adam and Eve were created and given the joy of this stewardship over everything that God bestowed upon them, first given their own lives and spiritual well-being, and from that, the management of everything else, especially each other. God placed the entire earth at their disposal and entrusted them with the great treasure of divine possessions. Yet they frivolously wasted these possessions and became indebted to God. That debt has been handed down to all of you through your inherited sinful flesh, also known as original sin. And indeed, you increase that debt through your own sins. Although how you should behave in soul, body, and possessions is made exceptionally clear through God's Ten Commandments. Yet, when you so often do self-examination according to those commandments, you are made aware of how often you sin against them. You do self-examination according to the Ten Commandments often now, right? God's word of law makes clear, then, what should happen to you because of such sin and wastefulness, such wretched stewardship of what has been so graciously given to you. What should happen? Because of your indebtedness, pay up, make amends, clear your debt while he's waiting. Here are the words of Christ. The king ordered him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had as payment. Sounds like an attention getter yet again. The record book of the divine law places your debts before your eyes and pushes you to make payment. And when you cannot, and you cannot, the divine law curses and condemns you and declares you to be indebted servants of divine wrath, guilty of eternal damnation. Sounds like a pretty good warning from the Lord within this parable. Again, this is the Lord said, Master, have patience with me. I will pay all of it to you. And this is how the flesh thinks. Even when God's law strikes the conscience, the old flesh strives to stay alive, to make payment of its own, which is impossible. Thanks be to God that He is patient. Thanks be to God that He brings the born from above new man in you to deal with the old man's debt in the only way possible. God brings about repentance and belief. God brings your new man to cry out with the voice of faith. He brings you to cry out the Kyrie, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. Such a plea is founded on and focused upon Christ Jesus and His merits as the cry goes out. This blessed scriptural truth that Christ Jesus and His merits are the focus as the Kyrie is cried out is supplied right to your new man in the words of the Holy Liturgy. At the beginning of God's divine service in the preparatory rite of confession and absolution, the new man in you confesses with regards to the old man, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. Did you hear the truth of God which He has you confess? You deserved temporal and eternal punishment. But you don't still deserve it. You deserved it. Why? Why are these words applied to you? Because repentant and believing faith confesses sins and cries out the Kyrie while fixed upon Christ crucified. Christ is turned to by the new man, the old man, and his death is dealt with through Christ crucified. Christ Jesus has settled the debt. Atonement and satisfaction for sins has been made. That is how the Master takes pity on the indebted servant. Unearned, undeserved favor. That is grace alone, because of the forgiveness Christ has merited for you alone, received by faith alone. Nothing can be added to that. What does such faith receiving in the forgiveness of God bring about? Forgiveness toward others. That is the intent and purpose of this gospel. It is Christ's admonishment to brotherly forgiveness toward each other and a warning to watch out for hard-heartedness or a hard-headed, stiff-necked pride. All of those brought to believe that they're forgiven simply must forgive. It's just how it is. God generated faith in Christ's forgiveness brings about forgiveness toward others. It blocks the way for excuses which the old nature is skilled at devising. For it's safe to say, due to the clinging old flesh, that everyone knows how one can justify their actions away, including harboring hatred and withholding forgiveness, because your old flesh thinks it can justify such actions. as Jesus is making clear in this parable. It just doesn't work like that. When he brings you to be repentant and believing, and for those who think, if we forgive those who do not acknowledge that they have done us wrong, will we not come into even greater ruin and give the wicked cause for further abuse? The answer, Christian forgiveness toward others is commanded more for your sake than for your neighbor. When it's received, hey, that's a beautiful blessing. But the readiness to forgive needs to be there, regardless. It's a faith issue. Just as Christ's atonement was fully made for you and was sitting there waiting to be received by God-generated faith alone, so his full atonement for your sinning neighbor sits there as well, by faith alone in you. Whether the one who has sinned against you acknowledges wickedness or not, there should be no harboring of enduring hatred in your hearts toward them. For hatred and anger are works of the flesh, and that flesh must be killed so that the new man might arise by the power of the gospel. How is it killed? Remember God's holy baptism of you, and how that indebted old man's flesh is plunged into Christ crucified. He can rise anew through his resurrection. There are numerous reasons to urge forgiveness and reconciliation. Christ's solemn warning should be enough, shouldn't it? But the demanding law never empowers anyone to actually do the law. It is the gospel alone that says, believe this, for it is already done. It is the gospel alone that received by faith brings you to be forgiven. Christ Jesus' full atonement for your murderous thoughts of hatred and your harboring of ill will is full atonement for you. That is the gospel. There's no room for thinking up excuses and self-justifications. It's Christ Jesus' satisfaction for your sins that justifies you by faith alone. And through that, he brings you to be forgiving toward others. The immense debt is paid. Rejoice, for you are given this gracious mercy through numerous means of grace, through word, water, bread, and wine, but just keep giving. It's really too bad that this text has been given the title, which is not divinely inspired, just so everyone knows. Subtitles are never divinely inspired. But it's been unfortunately given the title, The Unforgiving Servant. The better title and a better focus would be a title that says, The Very Forgiving, Yet Just King. This text is a grand proclamation to believe on the Lord Jesus and his merits for you. Being fixed and focused on Christ crucified and risen for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, God's word and sacraments deliver this to you, and through them God will generate a new man in you to forgive. And when you find that you are not forgiven, guess what? By the grace of God, he brings you to be fixed on Christ crucified and risen for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. God's word and sacraments deliver. still he who began a good work in you brings it to completion. Let the grace of God be repenting and believing, continually fed by God's word and sacraments, and through them you will be continually focused on Christ for you. By faith through his way of the cross, you are forgiven to forgive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.